You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to The Athletic Mind, your go-to podcast for maximizing your mental game. I'm your host, Taylor Cook, a mental performance coach and a former professional hockey goalie. Join me for open conversations about mental health, mindset, and performance. Let's get into it.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of The Athletic Mind, your go-to podcast for maximizing your mental game. So, lately, life has been a little bit crazy. Being the partner of a professional coach is literally no different than being a professional player, except for the fact that this is no longer my schedule and my teams that we're traveling for, but for his. And so it seems every year it's kind of the same process, and it's always, you know, something different, something new, trying to figure out with new teams. And at the end of the season, it's usually pretty crazy because it involves a lot of packing, moving, making summer plans, where are we going, these kinds of things. And so I'm really, really excited that this year we will be going back to Ontario for about a month. And this is going to be the longest time that I have been home since COVID happened in 2020, which is really crazy to think about. But yeah, I'm really excited to go. We're flying out this Wednesday, so in 2 days from the time that this recording comes out. And I'm just beyond words excited, but also beyond words stressed as well, because we're going to have to not only pack up and get ready to fly out, so that obviously includes our dog Charlie, and all of the things that go into traveling with your dog, but we are also moving apartments with this team as well, which means that we have to also pack up our entire apartment and clean everything before moving as well, on top of, you know, working normal hours as well. So it's a little bit hectic, a little bit crazy, but short-term pain for long-term gain. So we're really excited about this move and really excited for going back to Canada and all of the really amazing things that will come with being home for a month or so. All of that being said, while I am at home, I will not be recording any podcast episodes. I'm going to make sure that I am really, making the most of the time that I do have when I'm there, because I don't get to go so frequently. This will be the second last episode before May. So of course today and then next week as well. And then all of May, it's just going to be a break. So my apologies in advance. I did try to get some recordings in the queue before leaving, but unfortunately with all of the chaos of moving, packing, going to the vet, work, overtime work, and yeah, it's just really, really crazy. So unfortunately was not able to get that done, but we'll of course have really great episodes and guests as we come back in June. So all of that being said, let's quickly get into our pregame warm-up before we jump into this week's episode. So as always, if you have not left a rating or review for the podcast, that would be mighty, mighty appreciative of me from you. So take a minute, go ahead now and leave a 5-star rating or leave a really nice written review. This does help the podcast grow and reach new people just like yourself. So thank you so much in advance. If you haven't already followed along on social media, I mean, honestly, you're not really missing out too much at this point. Going through a little bit of a, not rebrand, but like a visual rebrand, let's say. So like same name, but different visual identity, if that makes sense. But either way, if you haven't followed along, you can do so by just typing in Taylor B. Cook _ on TikTok, Twitter, or Instagram. Or you can also follow directly in LinkedIn if maybe you are a professional looking to get in touch as well. And lastly, if you're an athlete and you're really looking to step up your game for next season, or maybe you're heading into playoffs and you're really looking to tap into that next level, and you might also be a coach who wants to improve the experience that you're providing for your athletes as well, you can contact me directly by going to www.tailored-minds.com, or you can see the show notes directly for that link. Okay, now that all of that is out of the way, we can get right into the episode. So as you may have already gathered from the title of this episode, we're going to be talking about how to stop social comparison and step into strength. So for many athletes, I would also say specifically female athletes, the social comparison aspect of sport is really, really high and plays a very big impact on our relationship with ourselves, with our teammates, and also with our performance too. And so getting caught in this social comparison trap can really be difficult, first of all, to get out of, especially if you're not fully aware that it's happening, and can also lead to a lot of, again, long-term problems, especially leading into like some sort of stress and anxiety, and really impacts your performance negatively, your self-esteem, your confidence, and so much more. And I think it's really important to talk about this because it's not talked about enough. And truthfully, it's just a really important piece of having a very healthy mindset, both as an athlete and as a person. And before we get into the episode, it is also really important to point out that this comparison trap affects everybody differently. So you might compare yourself to other people, or maybe it's like specific skill sets, maybe it's also looking at body image, these types of things. So if you are someone who does struggle specifically with body image or any sort of like eating disorders or something like this, I do highly recommend that you seek out a professional to discuss this with them, as they're going to be able to provide you with far better support and information that's going to directly impact you. So first off then, you know, the first part of this entire process is just simply recognizing that you are in this comparison trap. Because as I mentioned earlier, there is a lot of harmful effects of social comparison on your self-esteem, your confidence, mental health, and so, so much more. And so, you know, if you're finding that you're constantly comparing yourself to other people on your team or to any of the people around you, or are just simply very negative about yourself, this is really going to lead to some feelings of inadequacy or inferiority compared to those other people or those other teammates, which will over time really corrupt and disintegrate your self-esteem and your confidence. And as an athlete, you know how important already that being confident and confidence plays in your performance. And again, falling into this comparison trap is not going to help you, unfortunately. It's going to hurt you, and it will continue to hurt you for as long as you allow yourself to continue looking at how someone else is better than you, or how you wish that you could do this or something along those lines. So I think back to when I was in university, and you know, I'd look at my goalie partner, and she was able to make these really flashy saves, something that I have never been very consistent with, let's say. Like, I could make flashy saves, but I was never the type of goalie who necessarily would make them, especially like the splits, for example. You know, I was never able to do a full split. And for me, when I was at university, I always kind of compared myself to my goalie partner and that she was able to do that and make these really great clutch saves. And eventually I realized, you know, sure, I'm maybe not able to do this, or my body is incapable, or I haven't yet gotten to the point where I'm able to do this. But to somewhat kind of counteract this comparison trap that I found myself in, I would then try to take a look at some of the strengths that I have as a goalie and how those benefit me and my performance. So for me, that meant I was a very technical goalie and I wasn't making a lot of these flashy saves. So for me, that made me feel as though I was much more in position. And that, to me, was a strength that I could count on. And that was a very dependable thing, in my opinion, right? And so the same can be said for anyone else that's listening, that's going through this kind of social comparison trap, taking some time to think about the strengths that you bring to the table and how you can start to utilize those strengths is also going to play a very important role in your performance and in your athletic journey. And another very negative impact of this social comparison is increased stress and anxiety. So when we engage in this social comparison, it often triggers these types of emotions like increased stress or some form of anxiety or nerves as an athlete, and also just as a person in general too. And then you start to kind of worry about not measuring up to where some of your teammates are or where some of the people that you're playing against are at, or your own internal standards too. A lot of athletes have very high internal standards. And so when we go through the self-comparison in a negative way, it can also in turn start to trigger these feelings of stress and anxiety. And next thing you know, you're not doing enough to be able to reach those goals. And then you eventually become at risk of burning out, which is again something we will talk about a little bit further on in this episode. But this heightened level of stress can, of course, negatively impact your performance and your overall mental health, especially if you are going through these same types of scenarios more frequent than not. So if you're constantly comparing yourself to others and worrying about how you measure up and how other people look at you and all of these things, that is going to continue to build that stress, to build that anxiety to a point where if you don't seek out some help, there might be some very, very severe impacts long term as well. And I think it really goes without saying that when we get into this comparison trap, it is going to fuel that negative self-talk because you're comparing yourself to others. You're looking at your, quote, shortcomings and feeling like you maybe are not up to par where you should be, where you want to be. And then you just start to go through this negative self-talk loop and it keeps on going. And next thing you know, you're so far down the rabbit hole that you feel extremely overwhelmed, stressed, and don't know what to do next or how to get out of this negative loop, this comparison trap. And so it's really important that we're paying attention to that internal dialogue, because if we aren't, it can easily erode our confidence. It can really undermine our motivation and continue to negatively impact our self-esteem as well. So paying attention to the internal dialogue is extremely important and is something that I talk with all of my athletes about, because if you're constantly putting yourself down, how can you ever expect yourself to play at a high level, to play consistently, to play in this peak state of performance? You can't. And moreover from this, falling into this comparison trap can significantly reduce the enjoyment that you feel playing the sport that you love. Like, I personally remember when I was in university, there was a time during those 5 years where I was very hard on myself. I felt like I was never doing enough. And next thing I know, I ended up having a lot of mental health issues. I was diagnosed with generalized anxiety and depression. And I truthfully never really wanted to be at the rink some days. And normally the rink is like my safe haven. That's the place where I absolutely love to go. And even to this day, I love going to the rink, even if it means I'm coaching or I'm going out for a camp or I'm just going and watching a game. But when you're, again, in this constant loop of comparing yourself to others, to teammates, to people you play against, it really does impact how you feel, how you show up, and will ultimately impact the way that you are performing as well. So, I also briefly mentioned my experience in university and how this did lead to some mental health issues with stress and anxiety and depression. But the biggest impact here for me was burnout. And when you're going through this comparison, again, you are essentially just constantly striving to match or surpass some of the skills and achievements of whether that be other people on your team, the people you're playing against, and it also can be some of the external standards held by some like family and friends, for example, or even coaches. But it puts you at this risk of burnout because then all of a sudden you're just trying to push your limits constantly. And then you're setting these unrealistic expectations and standards for yourself, which usually shows up in the form of perfectionism. And that's exactly how it showed up for me as well. But this can truly result in this massive physical and mental exhaustion to the point that it was sometimes difficult for me to even get out of bed. Sometimes I was just so tired, all I wanted to do was sleep, lay down, have a nap. Even some days, like, I needed to have a nap in the middle of the day because I just could not stay awake. Physically, it was impossible for me to. And so, again, this social comparison is a very important topic that is not talked about nearly enough. And if you are listening to this thinking, yeah, this applies to me, oh, I can totally relate to this, and you don't have any sort of strategy to help work through this, to help overcome this comparison, or at least to somewhat mitigate the frequency of how often you're doing this, then the rest of this episode is going to be super, super crucial for you to pay attention to. So all that we just talked about was how social comparison can negatively impact you, your performance, your life. And of course, it's also going to be really important for us to talk about the common triggers of this social comparison, because the only way to not fix this, let's say, but the only way to begin to apply solutions and strategies to help overcome some of these things is going to start by understanding what triggers these emotions, what triggers these loops in the first place. And some of these might be social media, maybe certain teammates, or it could be pressure from coaches or peers, but we're going to talk about a few different ones, and we'll then afterwards get into some strategies that could potentially be helpful for you to start being more intentional about working your way through some of these social comparison traps. This should really come as no surprise, but one of the biggest triggers for athletes in this social comparison is performance rankings or your stats, because athletes care about stats a lot, especially in hockey. And I also assume especially in all sports, but when I'm thinking hockey in particular, I think to when I was in university and I would also, you know, check the league's website to see what my stats were at. What are the goals against average? What's my save percentage? How many goals against? These kinds of things. And also looking at like the, you know, top performers lists, like always really wanting to strive to be on those. And I want to clarify, there is absolutely nothing wrong with having those goals. But it is not okay when we start to fall into this comparison trap, say, looking at my stats and then looking at someone who is in the top spot and thinking, oh, I could be there, but this, or they shouldn't be there because this and that. Or it could simply just be the fact that you start to compare your performance to them. And then all of a sudden it is really starting to impact the self-esteem, the self-worth. And this is, again, an issue that a lot of athletes face because we have these high standards and we are competitive. And if we aren't coming out on top, or if we're constantly comparing ourselves to the people who are at the top, then we begin to have these feelings of inadequacy. We have this negative self-talk, this really poor internal dialogue. And over time, it not only impacts your performance as an athlete, but it also impacts you as a human being at your core, because all of a sudden your sport is making you feel like less of a person, or you don't feel like you are good enough to be where you're at. And that's not necessarily the case, right? So performance rankings, stats are a very, very big trigger for a lot of athletes. So please keep some of those things in mind before you go checking stats, really wanting to understand what the purpose of it is for you. Are you checking them because you want to check on your own stats, or are you checking it because you want to check yours and then start to compare yourself to people around you, to people on your team, to people who are in the top 5 or top 10 or whatever that might be? And then also thinking about how that's going to impact you long term, and if it's even worth it in the first place. Second big trigger, social media. I think it goes without saying, a lot of people have their phones glued to their face these days, and it's no different for athletes. Unfortunately, the social media landscape isn't always as positive as it could or should be, and platforms like Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, they provide this constant stream of curated content. And I want to make sure that I'm emphasizing that it is curated. People want you to see the highlight of their lives. They want you to see the achievements. They want you to see all the great things. And if you're constantly looking at somebody else's highlight reel and comparing it to your whole life, whether that be just your highlights, or whether that be just the low points, or, you know, maybe it's your training routines or just your lifestyle overall, it doesn't really matter. But when you're comparing your whole life to somebody else's highlight reel, you cannot go into that thinking that it is going to have a positive impact on your mental health, your performance, any of those things. Because athletes experience a lot of highs, we experience a lot of lows, and it's never just highlights. Like, there's a lot of work that gets done behind the scenes, and I know that you know this already, but yet somehow we still are super impacted by social media in a negative way when we are constantly comparing ourselves to the other people that we're scrolling across on our feed. So being more intentional with the way that you use and utilize your social media is going to be super important. And additionally, it might also be worth paying attention to what specifically you scroll across on Instagram or Twitter or TikTok, whatever it might be, but what specifically triggers you into this self-comparison loop? Because that right there is an indicator as to where some work needs to be done. And could also be kind of like a note to you, let's say, that maybe we shouldn't be consuming this content if it's going to make us feel this way every single time we see it, right? So maybe it's also going to be about limiting the amount of screen time that you have, not being on Instagram or TikTok or whatever social app that you have for X amount of hours per day, but maybe it's limiting it to be a little bit less, because truthfully, that's going to also positively impact your mental health too. And next one, teammate comparisons. This is a big one. It really is, because, you know, of course, you are part of your team. The team comes first, and you want to do everything in your power to be able to help your team. But we're still individuals within this team, and we also have our own personal goals and our own standards that we want to reach and to hit and to follow through on. And so it can be relatively easy to fall into this comparison trap with your teammates, especially for those who excel in certain skills or those who receive recognition, because it can lead to a very big feeling of insecurity, so some inadequacy, resentment, and also feelings of jealousy as well. And again, I think back to when I was in university, it was really hard sometimes not to compare myself to my goalie partner, especially when we were the only two that were there and we're truly fighting in practice every single day, trying to outwork and outbattle one another to the point that we would be named the first string goalie. And I know goalies are going to be able to relate to this a lot, because it can be hard. You love your goalie partners. You want them to do well. You want them to succeed. And you want your team to do well. But you also want to be on that ice. You want to be making an impact. And sometimes if you're number two or you're number three, that's a really hard thing to sit and to accept. And how do you not fall into some sort of comparison at that point, right? And if, let's say, for example, maybe you are a third string goalie and you want to be improving your skills, and it, again, can be really hard not to compare yourself, but you can also learn a lot just by watching. You can observe some of the training habits that your goalie partners, or for anybody who's not a goalie, that your teammates have. Maybe if you know that they excel at a specific skill that you want to improve on, there's nothing wrong with watching to see what some of those training habits are, or even asking questions, because your teammates should want to help you get better as well. And just trying to do your best to add some of those extra things in where it's possible, so you can start to work on building some of those skill sets a little bit more. But we will talk a little bit more about this, and specifically some strategies that you can begin to implement to work through and get over this whole social comparison, comparing your performance to your goalie partner. Or, like I said, if you're a player, you are trying to work through comparing yourself to other teammates or some of the people that you're playing against, for example. The chase for the Stanley Cup is on, and if you're looking to light the lamp, nothing beats the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. From the start of playoff beards all the way to the hoisting of the cup, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code THPN. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code THPN only on DraftKings. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 778-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 8877897777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/ice for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources. Another really common trigger is coach feedback. So, I love coach feedback personally. I'm always looking for an opportunity to improve myself, to improve my skills, and I always appreciated what my coaches had to say to me. However, there are some people who have a very hard time receiving feedback and trying to receive that feedback with an open mind and more of a growth mindset, let's say, and can feel like their coaches are like out to get them, or their coach doesn't like them, or, you know, one of these many other reasons that athletes have a really difficult time having those types of conversations with their coaches. But I would like to give you a little bit of advice in this situation, and it is really worth going into those conversations, trying to have more of an open mind, and also trying to look at the situation from your coach's perspective as well. And so what do I mean by this? So I recently had an athlete share that, you know, they felt that their coach didn't really care for them, and they were trying to change their game from, you know, the what they're usually used to playing, but also knowing that this athlete had the ambition to be getting to that next level in their career and basically had to try to get this athlete to look at it from the coach's perspective, in that they are not out to get you. They're not trying to change the way you play, but they know that you want to get to that next level. And in order for you to get to that next level, you also have to expand your skill sets. You can't just be one type of player and that's it. But you do have to be more adaptable. You do have to have secondary skill sets that you can rely on and that you can also kind of implement within the team as well to really be able to get a first look in the next league. And so all of a sudden, when she was taking a look at this coach's advice or feedback from this perspective of improvement rather than criticism, it completely changed the way that she had perceived that feedback and was no longer feeling threatened by the feedback and or triggered by it, but was like looking at this entire situation with new eyes and recognizing that her coach is actually trying to help her become a better player. So that would be a quick piece of advice for anybody who does struggle with some coaching feedback. Another very common trigger is public recognition and accolades, awards, media attention, these types of public appearances. Being given to certain athletes instead of you, or feeling like you should be having those opportunities. This, again, it can also lead to this social comparison, because then you're starting to have these feelings of envy, self-doubt, more of a pressure to perform, because for you to be able to, you know, have this recognition and be in media or receive these awards, you all of a sudden have this pressure on you, and you're putting this pressure on yourself because this is what you're wanting to achieve, but you don't really know if you're going to be able to accomplish it or not. And so when it comes to working towards any of these things, again, it's not bad to want to receive awards or to hit certain targets or milestones or to have that kind of public recognition. But doing something for the sole purpose of having an award or having recognition is something that should be looked at a little bit deeper from your side. Because being an athlete is a lot more than just getting wins, getting championships, awards maybe outside of hockey or outside of your sport, more than just being in media. right? It's about having this huge impact on the next generation of your sport, about making a difference in the world. And it can be a lot more than just having that public recognition. But again, it does lead to these really negative feelings of self-doubt and envy. And those can not only, again, erode your self-esteem and your confidence and so much more, but it also negatively impacts some of the relationships that you have with teammates, with coaches, with other people in your network. So trying to bring a little bit more awareness to where might that possibly be coming from for you, and how is it that we can get to the root of that problem so we can, again, come out of this comparison trap and start to actually be in the present moment and absolutely enjoy where we are. And last but certainly not least, a very big trigger is the external expectations that you have from parents, coaches, fans, media, teammates, so many other places that those external expectations can come from. But having this, you know, expectation to perform at a certain level or achieve certain outcomes can prompt comparison between you and your peers, and can also influence your perception of success and failure too. Because although you might have a really great game, but if you come out with a loss and your parents are now like really upset about the fact that you didn't win, and those types of patterns can start to internalize over time. And then all of a sudden you're thinking, well, we didn't win, so that means that I'm not adequate enough and that I didn't play a really good game, where that might not necessarily be the case. So being aware of, if you do have some external expectations being placed on you, understanding what they are, and then also being able to separate your own internal worth from those external expectations is a very big skill to work to develop as well. But I'd say first and foremost, recognizing some of these common triggers for social comparison can really help you to become more aware of your own tendencies, and also give you a bit of an insight as to how you can develop strategies to mitigate the negative effects of this to improve your mental well-being and also your game day performance as well. And of course, as I mentioned before, we're not only going to be going through some of the potential triggers for athletes in this whole social comparison problem, but would also be talking about some of the practical strategies that you can start to use to challenge and reframe some of these triggers so that you're able to improve your mental health, mental well-being, and of course your mental resilience as an athlete as well. So as always, the very first strategy that I give to all athletes is just the practice of self-awareness and working on building self-awareness. So again, trying to recognize when you're engaging in the social comparison is the first step, because you can't solve a problem if you don't know that it even exists in the first place. So first step is identifying, one, that there is a problem, and two, when that problem is coming up. Then I would recommend athletes to work on shifting their focus from the external to the internal factors. So trying to concentrate on some aspects of your performance that you can control, such as effort, attitude, work ethic, growth mindset, those types of things. And also recognizing the strengths that you bring to the table as an athlete and as a person, and asking yourself how you can harness those strengths to help elevate your own game. So again, trying to get away from comparing ourselves to some of the other people in our environment, but bringing it back inwards and thinking about how you already have strengths. How is it that you're using them? How can you harness them to continue to improve? And again, focusing on those internal factors that you can control. So focusing on the controllables and working on those controllable factors every single day. Another strategy that can also benefit you is working to challenge your negative thoughts by reframing. And this is a technique that I absolutely love to use, both like from a physical game standpoint, but also from a mental game standpoint as well. So by challenging these negative self-talk, these thoughts, this irrational belief or whatever it might be for you, but whatever it is that's fueling this comparison in the first place, reframing your thoughts in a more positive and realistic light can help you to work through some of those comparisons as well. And kind of what I mean by this is kind of, again, what I mentioned earlier is instead of kind of looking at another player and wishing that you could do something that they did, which would ultimately make you feel very inadequate in your skill set, but instead of looking at it from that perspective, think about it from a, you know, they are really skilled in this and I would love to also be there at some point. So what is it that I can be doing to improve to get to that level, that skill level? Or it could also be thinking more about, instead of focusing on what strengths other people have, kind of again, going inward and asking yourself, what strengths do I have? What is it that I'm really skilled at that helps me play and be a better player? So trying to, again, both reframe the way that you're looking at and approaching that situation and also trying to be a bit more positive with the way that you're talking to yourself and focusing more on the internal rather than focusing so much on the external. And one of the biggest skill sets that is going to be absolutely crucial for this process is developing self-compassion. This is something that took me a long time to learn as an athlete and as a person, and is something that I still work on consistently every single day. But having some self-compassion in this process is really important because it does not happen overnight. But much like every other skill that we have in sports and in life, it does take practice, time, repetitions. So again, just trying to be kind to yourself, celebrating the small things, let's say, anytime that you even recognize that you're starting to compare, or anytime that you recognize that you're having these negative self-talks, or it can also be anytime that you are actively practicing some of these strategies, you should be smiling at yourself, giving yourself a pat on the back, because it's all of these really small steps over time that are going to build up your self-esteem, build up your confidence, and ultimately build up your mindset as well. So working on developing and flexing that self-compassion muscle is absolutely crucial. And last but certainly not least, I would also recommend you to seek some professional help. And that's not a bad thing. It's a great thing. It can be super, super beneficial and can help you to stay on track with some of the things that you need to work on, need to improve. And if you're struggling with, you know, constantly comparing yourself, whether it be to other people, other teammates, coach, it doesn't even matter who, but if you find that you're constantly in this comparison trap, having support from a sports psychologist or a mental performance coach or even just your standard counselor might be able to provide you with more personalized strategies and guidance that are going to help you overcome this comparison trap and get you into a much more empowered, positive space that's going to allow you to not only improve your performance, but also have a strong mental and physical well-being and to feel much more enjoyment overall. I truly can't recommend these types of services enough. And that's not because I'm in the mental coaching space. You can go and seek out any sort of person in the sports psych performance coaching realm. But I think back to my own experience when I was in university and when I first sought the help of a counselor, and them being able to not only listen to how I was feeling and what was going on in my experience at that point in time, but also to be able to provide me with some insights that I was not able to see at the time, helped me to work through some of those challenges that were keeping me roadblocked, and ultimately led me down this path of personal performance improvement, whatever you want to call it. But this journey of self-improvement has really just sparked something else in me. And now here I am, you know, 5 or 6 years later, after graduating college and going through this coaching process, not only for myself, but now wanting to be able to give this back to other people as well. Like, I swear it can change your life for the better, and I highly, highly, highly recommend that you do. But all of that being said, prioritize self-acceptance, self-compassion, and looking at your strengths and the controllable factors in your performance, both on and off the ice, field, court, doesn't matter, and trying to foster a healthier mindset and journey for yourself as an athlete is absolutely important. And I hope that you do take something away from this episode and apply it. And if you do, and you find that it helps, please send me a message. I would absolutely love to hear. And also share that with other listeners as well. So thank you all again for listening yet another week. And I will see you next week for the final episode in April, and also the last one until the very beginning of June. So thank you again so much, and I'll see you next week.